A Podshape production.
Have you ever lost something? Maybe it was your keys, your mobile phone, or something more valuable. To find them, you retrace your steps. You look in all the places they're most likely to be, and sometimes you look in places where they're probably not, but just in case. Sometimes when things go missing, you blame other people. You ask them if they've put them somewhere, if they've seen them. You sometimes think the worst. Maybe they've been stolen, taken from you when you weren't looking. Some of those theories that you come up with when something goes missing are far-fetched. You blame and have unreasonable thoughts. Those themes will be explored in this podcast, but not with insignificant material things, but with a person. This is the story of Desmond Francis Carr, who was last seen at 3 p.m. on August 2, 1979, and then he disappeared. Des Carr went missing in the late 70s after disappearing off his road roller in the West Australian outback. Late one afternoon, when the main roads team came back to pick him up off his road roller, they arrived and Des was gone. His road roller was still on. His lunch and water bottle were left. But Des was nowhere to be seen. This is also not just a story of a man that went missing over 40 years ago. It's the story of my uncle, Uncle Des, my mum's big brother. For 40 years, I've heard the stories about UFOs taking him, him going walkabouts, his heavy drinking, possible mental health issues, and stacks more. To be honest, there are almost as many theories as there have been years that have passed. The family have waited a long time to get resolution around his disappearance. A coroner's report has never been done. When we first released the first episode of this podcast around 18 months ago, there was little hope of that coroner's inquest happening. But then, some new information started coming forward off the back of the podcast.
My daughter-in-law is a bit of a podcast freak, and she started talking about the guy that went missing in Broome. And I said to her, oh, his name wasn't Des, was it? She said, yeah. So I then downloaded the podcast myself. I listened to it and I said, well, I got a bit of information I think I should tell somebody. So that's basically where it come from. Well, I was at the rodeo with my children. I had one son of my own and three other children that I was looking after at the time. So I was standing there watching the rodeo. It was kind of an early evening. I don't know exactly what time, 7, 8 o'clock, something along those lines. And I was standing kind of reasonably close and I could see the bar. And I looked up and I could see Des walking up to the bar. Now, at this time, I noticed that he was really, really quite drunk. He was doing quite a bit of staggering. It looked like he was talking to two couples of people, to the degree that I thought he was actually with them. But I didn't make contact because I was with my kids, and I thought to myself, oh, you're a bit too drunk to talk to tonight, Des. So I just let it go.
And so these people he was standing with by the bar, who were they, do you know?
Well, look, they weren't local people from Broome. I knew that, but I'd never seen them before. They looked like young European backpackers to me, kind of Northern European, maybe German, Swedish, something along these lines. That was just the impression that I got. Like I said, Des seemed to be with them. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I could see that he was talking to them in general.
And you said it was a couple or a couple of people? Was that?
Yeah, two couples. A girl and a guy and a girl and a guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did he look like they were friends or friendly or...?
I kind of got the impression that he was with them.
People got in touch with offers of help.
Well, I think number one, going in the local paper, which is distributed in Broome and Derby, and giving some visibility around Des' disappearance, for the simple reason that, you know, I mean, my dad came forward after 40 years, so it's not entirely improbable that somebody else knows something or has something they can say that might be helpful. And, you know, starting in the Broome Derby region feels like, to me, like that could be, you know, it could go somewhere.
You also mentioned that possibly over 40 years, family secrets or family things might have been talked about in that community.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you have to think about what Broome was like back in the late 70s. And, you know, I think that maybe someone may not have wanted to go to the police for their own reasons. Maybe they didn't actually do anything, you know, that they get in trouble for, but maybe they just don't want to be involved with the police. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking that potentially, you know, if somebody did know something, then they might have talked about it in their family. So it might be the second generation that actually, you know, remembers the story being told.
Their help was welcomed, but to be honest, we didn't really know if it helped or just added to the questions we already had. I've been in contact with the WA police both directly and through my cousin Michelle, who's helped with the search. As I've talked about in this podcast, my mum has been battling dementia over the past 2 years. Her long-term memory is still strong, but her short-term memory is not good at all. On Friday the 8th of May, I got a text from Michelle. It was Craig, the police officer who's doing all the research for the possible inquest into my Uncle Des. And it said, "Good morning, Michelle. I hope you're well. The call overhearing took place this morning and the inquest into Des's disappearance is listed to take place on the 4th of August 2021 here in Perth." I can tell you I was emotional when I read that, as I am now. I'm based in Brisbane and my family are in Perth, and I wanted to chat straight away to Mum and my brothers, but I knew that probably the best course of action was to call my brother Paul first, and I wanted to ask him to break the news to Mum.
Hey, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. Just had me lunch and relaxing before heading off to work.
Oh, lucky you. Lucky you. He's my little brother, and we talk often. So we first started talking about his football team beating my football team, and then into his rampaging son, who's 1 year old, almost one, and tearing down the house.
Yeah, no, he's good. A couple more bumps and scratches and opening up every door that he can reach.
And then we got into the topic of the inquest around Uncle Des.
What I got a message on Messenger.
Oh, okay.
Just outlining that, yeah, that the coronial inquest was about to begin.
Yeah, pretty exciting, hey?
Yeah, it was, yeah. After all this time, you know, hopefully finally get some answers to what may have happened.
It's weird because I don't know if I'm hopeful. I don't know if we're going to get answers, but I'm thinking we might get a few more questions than answers, but part of it also is
probably. And like I said, I think we've all got our own thoughts of what may have happened or may not have happened, but yeah, maybe someone else might shed some light on it.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Hey, I spoke to Mum about it, but she was obviously, I think she was having a bad day on the day I spoke to her. Did you?
Yes. Yep.
You saw her on the Sunday after Michelle texted.
Yeah, we saw her on Mother's Day on Sunday, and yeah, no, she wasn't too bad then.
And you told her about the news.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So I spoke to Mum and just told her that the inquest was coming up, and she was like, "Yeah, love, no, that's good. I heard about it, but yeah, she knew about it, but I don't know how much she is going to comprehend of it.
Yeah, that's the hardest bit, right? Because she's been waiting for 40 years for an answer.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, this would have been good 10, 20 years ago when Mum was able to comprehend what was going to happen. But at the moment, I think, you know, any news that we do get, I'm not sure how much she will understand, or she'll understand, but whether she remembers the process of, you know, what's happening.
Yeah, oh, that's a shit bit, right?
Yeah, yep.
That's why dementia's fucked.
There's a sad side of this story. As you can tell from my brother, Mum's dementia is worse, and now after waiting 40 years to find out what happened to her brother, Mum will finally get the answers that she needs. But the cruelty in all of this is she possibly won't remember ever hearing that news. Our next instalment of this podcast, The Disappearance of Des, will be in August after the coroner's report is delivered in Perth. There are over 38,000 long-term missing person cases in Australia, and the story you've just heard is one of them. We want to continue to help bring these emotional stories of ambiguous loss to you so we can spread the word and hopefully get some closure for the families. For as little as the price of a coffee a month, you can help support us to keep creating this content. Just head to our Patreon page. The link is in the show notes.